Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly meeting of Devonport City Council. Our council acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it is council policy to record council meetings in accordance with council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance who do not wish their words to be published or recorded on the website should contact a relevant council officer and advise of their wishes prior to the start of the public question time. I will remind everyone to please put their mobile phones on either silent or off. And we have no apologies, as we have everyone here. Item 2.0 is declarations of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest in any items on this agenda? Thank you, Alderman Matthews.
7.2, Madam Chair.
And I will declare an interest in item 8.3. Just one moment, Mr. Emerton, I'll get to you. Sorry, Alderman Matthews, yours was what number?
No, item 7.2.
Thank you. And Alderman Emerton?
Also an interest in item 7.2, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? No. Thank you. We move to item 3.1.1, minutes, confirmation of the minutes of the 26th of March Council meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Goodwin?
Nothing to add, me.
Alderman Matthews? Any questions, comments? Alderman Matthews to close? Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it closed, me.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1, we have a recommendation for responses to questions raised at the previous meeting. Can I have a mover of the recommendation, please? Thank you, Alderman Matthews. A seconder?
Yes.
Alderman Emerton, thank you. Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Emerton?
It's all documented, nothing to add.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Alderman Matthews to close. Thank you, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Questions on notice from the public. We have item 3.2.2. Could I have a mover for that motion, please? Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Alderman Milne. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing to add,
Mayor. Thank you, Alderman Milne.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Alderman Goodwin to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. We now come to questions without notice from the public, item 3.2.3. I will ask anyone from the public gallery who might have a question to come to the microphone, stating your name and address, and a reminder that it is a maximum of two questions per person. If you have it in writing, if you would mind passing it to our member of staff there, and she will collect them for recording later. Thank you.
Right, Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. With regards to file 34984, why didn't the contractors clean up the area where they were working at the roundabout in Ronald Street? I have included photos that I have taken and printed to show these errors. There have been ruts left where the public can trip into and sprain an ankle. Other areas where a container was located and the latest trip was not put back as it was in the first place. Why don't your well-paid staff check these sites after the contractors are finally left instead of leaving it up to the ratepayers to inform you of these bad practices. This is happening far too often, but maybe it is way the council. Right, with regards to file 34984 again, lid raisings. Your faithful contractors have failed once more with their lid raisings in Old Acre Street. In front of the reject shop, this lid raising has sunk to well below the existing road structure and is no better than the original height. When will this issue be fixed to the Australian standards? This is another case of ratepayers of Devonport informing you of poor work standards. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take them on notice, as I assume you want the responses in writing. Do I have any other comment? Any other questions?
Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mandatta. Question one. In response to a simple question relating to the release of the full Waterfront Hotel Expressions of Interest documentation, Council responded that the new Waterfront Hotel document, used as part of the Expression of Interest process, has been updated to the Living City website. This is an incomplete response to the question requesting release of the complete EOI documentation, and accordingly, I repeat the slightly amended question. Now that the EOI phase has been completed with the 2-year exclusivity period in place, will Council make the complete documentation, including attachments, as issued seeking EOIs to build a waterfront hotel available to the ratepayers? I'm assuming there's still documentation that's not on the website.
Mr. Gardam, thank you.
Through you, Madam Chair. The information in relation to the expression of interest process, the document that was used for the expression of interest was uploaded, as the response to your question states. Previously, we have uploaded the documents from the Haworth HTL process as well, so they were already on the website. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, we'll check and make sure that there's nothing else, but they were the main documents that have been uploaded.
Just a clarification on that. I would have assumed there was probably more of an overarching document, having read all of those that's been put on the website. So if you do
thank
that,
you,
that'd
Mr.
be fine. Thank
you
very much.
Your only question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
It was publicly reported in The Advocate on the 7th of August 2014, just prior to adopting the Living City Master Plan, that securing federal government funds for the waterfront precinct remains the final requirement in allowing Living City to become a reality. And accordingly, is it correct that according to this statement, all funding other than the federal government funding for the waterfront precinct was a known value in August 2014? You'll probably take that on notice.
I would defer to the General Manager.
Okay, thank you.
And you take it on notice, thank you.
Okay, I'll just foreshadow a third question, time permitting. Thank you.
Do I have any other?
Patrick Johnson, Melrose. In relation to the bike trail work that's recently commenced to the west of Durkins Road, why was there no broad community consultation and notification of neighbours prior to commencement? And has there been, paid for by the council, geophysical assessment and archaeological assessment prior to the work commencing?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Do we want to respond to that? Thank you, Mr. Ackles.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. Look, there's been some discussions with the Mountain Bike Club and we're now in a position where we're doing some further, they've ceased the, or stopped the works, and we're in a process of now just doing some master planning and mapping of the site, and that's going to involve a community consultation process. So there's a whole heap of consultation that we plan to do before any further works are done. And the other thing I might just add, we have had our environmental officer look at some of the works that have been done, and we agreed where they were going to finish, and they've now finished until we do this further work.
Excuse me, Mr. Johnson, if you have a second question, you may come back to the podium. Okay, you can come back later. I would ask the General Manager perhaps to just clarify something around this project that's been happening.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. There certainly has been some issues in relation to the mountain bike trails, and we are trying to work through the situation with both the mountain bike club and also other interested parties, where it's been identified that some works did commence before there was approvals that was provided, and so therefore there has been some miscommunication that has to be addressed, and we're in the process of doing that, which is why, as Mr. Atkins pointed out before, that the works have stopped. There were some works that were permitted to continue to allow what had started to be completed, but there's a further consultation that's going to occur now as a result of a number of issues that have been raised both by the mountain bike group but also by local residents and interested parties from Kelsey Tears.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Lee Murphy, 146 Nicol Street, Devonport. Bit of a preamble on this one, not too long. At a recent service club meeting in which I was attendance, Providore Place Director Mr. Grant Hurst was asked some questions after a presentation that he gave. One of those was as to whether he or anyone from Projects and Infrastructure Group have had or have ever operated a business or like business to the food pavilion constructed by council. Mr. Hurst's response was, and I quote, no. So my question, could council advise of the processes or the process and the criteria used in determining that Providore Place Proprietary Limited through P&I was the best qualified and most experienced operator for the food pavilion? Question number two. Can council advise in writing the following dates? The receipt of the business plan from Providore Place Proprietary Limited to operate the food pavilion and the closure date of the construction tender submissions for stage one of Living City. I have those on notice.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. You have asked for it in writing, so that's how it will be responded to. Are there any other questions? No, Mr. Johnson, you'll need to wait. Thank you.
John Bonney from 8 Charlotte Gardens, Devonport. In recent times, there have been many changes in retailing with a trend towards greater dependence on online shopping and sluggish performance amongst many major retail stores, resulting in the closure of many stores across Australia. Given that set of circumstances and its impact on any potential large-scale development for Devonport, has the retention of the existing library building and its potential redeployment for other uses been considered by council rather than continuing down the path of destruction of this seemingly very useful facility, even though the original contemplated use for a discount department store or additional supermarket must at least be under serious question?
Did you want to respond? I guess realistically, we're following our path at this point, but as you've said, circumstances can change.
Have changed.
Thank you.
I have a second question, if I may.
Okay. Do you require a response in writing? That's purely my opinion.
I'd appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead. In that case, I won't respond to the second part.
My second question is, can council assure the ratepayers that the court buildings in Griffith Street will be retained to enhance the prospects of a continued court operation in Devonport and in the lack of any apparent alternate need?
Thank you. You requested your response my response in writing, so that's what will happen, Mr. Bonney. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jonathan Burke, 20 Croft Avenue, Devonport. I firstly would request that my questions on notice intended for this meeting, dated 20th of the 4th, are withdrawn and instead submit tonight in part as questions without notice to the Acting Mayor. My first question relates to the final December 2014 Hill PDA report, page 67, which clearly stated the following in relation to the proposed food pavilion. though the current research and analysis indicates that a market should be developed as a once-a-week initiative, there may be the opportunity over time to extend the operating times for the market so that it can offer a midweek market experience as well as a weekend market. In ignoring the advice of this highly respected consulting company, one of Australia's leading property and economic advisers with vast experience advising all levels of government on demand forecasting, market research and appraisal, will the acting mayor advise the following? What substantiating quantitative customer demand research was undertaken to support the decision to extend the market trading from 2 days per week to 7 days per week? And my second question relates to the overall living city costs. Will council release details of both capitalised and operational costs, including costs both pre and post council adoption of the master plan in 2014, representing the cumulative total cost of living city to date, including consultant reports, advices, concept designs, property purchases and associated real estate and legal costs in general and promotional materials, etc.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. We will take that on notice. However, I'm quite sure that we will be providing the financials, certainly, the overall arching. Thank you. Any other questions? Second one, Mr. Johnson. Third one, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, well, I didn't seem to get an answer to the second one I asked before, which was in relation to the geophysical assessment and archaeological assessments. Have they been carried out by council? Have council paid for them? But a third one is, was the commencement of the bike trail work undertaken with express approval of the council?
No. Through you, Madam Chair, that area has been used for mountain biking for 20 years plus, so it's been a progressive thing, I guess, and in doing the master plan now, council's just looking at, because of the popularity of that sport, I guess drawing a line in the sand and mapping how it goes forward, but it's been a gradual process where tracks have been added to over the last couple of decades, I'd suggest.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone?
That's not the work that's commenced at the moment. This is major work that's being undertaken.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. We are aware of that and we are taking steps to make sure that it follows the process.
Thank you.
Did anyone else have another question? No? Done? Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Oh, you're not done, Mr. Gardam. Fine. Welcome back.
It was publicly reported in the Advocate on the 7th of August 2014 that the council is not the main financier of Living City, but instead has taken on the role of project leader in creating opportunities for public and private investors. And accordingly, when were all aldermen first made aware of the massive funding shortfall for Stage 1 only, necessitating the need for the $50 million ratepayer financing lifeline, being the $11 million in cash reserves and up to $39 million in borrowings? I'd like to know when the aldermen were first made aware of the magnitude of the funding that the ratepayers had to chip in.
Thank you, Mr.
Gardam. You want to take it on those? Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We'll move on.
One more to go.
Oh, really?
Right, Trevor Smith back again.
Thank you.
With the recent cutbacks to services around the Devonport municipality to save money for the Living City construction, why did the general manager go to the expense of having full-length mirrors about 3 metres tall by 3 metres wide in the renovated male and female toilets of the DEC? Was it to make things look bigger than what they are? The mirrors weren't there before, and I find it a waste of ratepayers' money. What's new in these days of cost cutting?
We're done? Thank you very much. We will move on to notices of motion. Item 3.4.1, the Leggett motion, notice of motion from Alderman Jarman.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Alderman Jarman.
Look, I think this is pretty obvious what we're trying to accomplish here, and it certainly is, there's an inconsistency in the Act that needs to be addressed, which is said down the bottom of that page. Some parties have their own policy on this matter, and they certainly look after their own when they get candidates, and some of them do decide to resign earlier on. But this certainly will avoid the confusion that the public out there have of how this works. And I think this would be for us to show a bit of leadership in getting this sorted out and taking it to Leggett and getting the councils to look at this very seriously. I'd like to see it go ahead. So if I could get the support of my fellow colleagues, I think that it would be important to take to the conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I endorse Alderman Jarman's comments.
Alderman Jarman's comments that there is some confusion around the current arrangements for the election of council members to higher honours, and that's not their fault, that's just the way it's been over a long period of time. But I think this will give some certainty going forward to what those arrangements perhaps could be, and would clear up a lot of grey areas for not only for council and the candidates, but also the public. Because as it stands, the public, they say, well, why should this be happening? Well, the reason it's happening is because they are the current arrangements at the moment. So if we can provide some certainty and some distinction between when you're an alderman slash councillor or a member of parliament, then I think that'll clear up a lot of that and make it a much clearer process going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Any other comments? Alderman Matthews.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Look, I endorse the previous two speakers. There is an anomaly in the system at this point. I don't think that there's very few occasions that councillors who have been elected to state or federal parliament have taken to both offices. I think I can only remember situation, but look, overall, I think it's a good idea to get this sorted out because it is an anomaly at this point in time, so it needs to be resolved.
Thank you. Anyone else? No? Alderman Jarman to close. Thank you.
Thank you. I just think that, it's certainly just sorting something out that can be changed in the Act, and I think that can be done. We've certainly seen it done in the past, so it would be good to see it go through. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 3.5 is accepting the petition that we have, the recommendation. Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Matthews.
No, I have nothing to add, Madam Chair. I think it'll be discussed in the next motion.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing to add, Madam
Chair. Any other comments? Alderman Matthews to close.
Consider it.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 4.0. I'll now announce that Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act of 1993 for the consideration of agenda item 4.1. Council's required by regulation of the local government meeting regulations to deal with items as a planning authority under LUPA in a sequential manner. Following item is to be dealt with at this meeting in its capacity as a planning authority. Item 4.1, PA 2018.0029, Utilities Infrastructure. We have a recommendation. Do we have a mover for the recommendation or for any other motion?
I'm prepared to move the recommendation to get it on the table, but I'll be speaking strongly against it.
Do I have a seconder?
Aye. Seconded.
Alderman Emerton. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. And I, I do note that the recommendation from council is to approve this this tower, but in all fairness, it really is an application to put a tower where it shouldn't be put. Now, if we start with probably the email that came through today from can't think of the name. An independent consultant from Optus, stating that the tower was originally looked at north of the Bass Highway, but because of the flight path, they weren't allowed to put it there. That was obviously from Tasports. So they then decided, well, we'll go south of the Bass Highway, and and this is the most appropriate place for it. There are other alternate areas, as there obviously was in the original consultation when they were electing to put it north of the Bass Highway. So they've elected now to put it near the water tower, and it really does impinge on the quality of living within that area. I do know that we need planning grounds to reject it. I'm well aware of that, and I'll be looking to the general manager to probably come up with that piece of magic when we finish here, if it gets if this gets the thumbs down. Further to that, in relation to the deleterious effect that they're saying that will not happen in relation to the tower, I've heard those comments many times in my lifetime, and sometimes, in a lot of cases, that's not true. And I refer, if we want to go back, we can go back to Agent Orange was could be non-deleterious to human health, and we know what took place there. So there are many things that can take place in relation to the magnitude of what comes from a mobile phone tower. Further to that, obviously, it suits Optus to put it there, and at the end of the day, it's only going to, wherever they put it, it's going to help their 4G network and certainly help Optus's bottom line. But that doesn't carry any weight as far as I'm concerned. There are other areas this thing could be put. And in relation to where they proposed to put it, if they bothered to look about a kilometre to the southeast, so it could be put over in the same area, and I would almost think that it would give the same ability to conduct what needs to be done in the 4G network, especially when they were going to put it, obviously, originally, I would think it would be up on top end of Brook Street, because that got canned by the Tasports in relation to the airport flight path. So there are other areas for this. Further to that, in relation to where they do intend, at this point in time, where they intend to put it, to the west of that is the land that's owned by McCoy's. That's only a small parcel of agricultural land that would no doubt come up for redevelopment into general residential in due course. Certainly not where they want to put it, because that would be impinged on prime agricultural land, so I don't think that's ever going to be developed, but certainly to the west of it could be. So once again, that will have a deleterious effect on anyone wishing to subdivide that land. So there's a lot of reasons as to why we shouldn't be supporting this, and I certainly won't be supporting it. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Emerton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I share the same concern. Look, it's very difficult for us to look through the copious quantities of scientific data that has been put forward to us both on both sides of the argument, and it would be impossible for us to be able to decipher all that and come up with a balanced view, I would believe. But I believe we can look forward into our future. My concern over allowing this is based on the fact of Devonport itself becoming landlocked as a council municipality, that if we allowed this tower to go where it's being proposed, that would have a negative view, irrespective of the scientists may seem to be saying. The perception in the community is that it is bad on one's health. and it definitely has a negative perspective or negative effect upon a development in the future. And I can see in the future, and I don't know how many years away that is, but some are years away, that we may, all the people sitting in this chamber may want to approve a subdivision in that vicinity. And I believe strongly that by placing this tower there, it would have a limiting effect on the future of us. If there was only one place that you could put it, then we probably have a different argument. But I believe with my colleague, Alderman Goodwin, that there are other sites that would give the proponent the significant signal carrying capacity that the proposal does. So I'm opposed on that. I oppose it also because there's a stack of our ratepayers that actually are saying no, and we do listen to our ratepayers.
Thank you, Alderman Emerton. Alderman Lacombe.
Thank you. Well, I understand it's only natural for Optus to want to improve their service to their customers because people like ourselves are calling out, you know, we've got black spots. I'm still having difficulty in convincing myself that this new facility is in the best interest of our ratepayers. A lot of them are concerned about the radio frequency radiation levels from this proposed facility. I think that's something we need to take very seriously. I've had to ask myself the question on several occasions, has any data been provided to anyone that's available to us proving that this radio frequency radiation from the towers doesn't cause birth defects or cancer? We need to know this for the well-being of our community. I'm just wondering if anybody knows, there's ever been any surveys done of towers that have been up for some years of you know, the surrounding residential area. So it's a very important issue here. We need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Are we convinced that our residents will be safe from radio frequency radiation? If the answer is no, we probably need to call for a procedural motion here tonight so that we can clear up any doubts. I don't know what the timeframe's like. Otherwise, we could move another motion that the proposed tower's located further away from our residents, or we could simply vote against it. So as the motion tonight stands, the recommendation, I'll certainly be voting against it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Lacock. Alderman Milne.
Firstly, I'd like to applaud the community for getting their voices heard on this matter. The signatures on that petition were just phenomenal, and mostly from that area. So, and the amount of the overwhelming amount of evidence that they supplied was fantastic. I like their research skills. They've just really done their homework and got us around this table to think for them, because basically, as a council, we are here to serve the public. And in this case, the public are saying no. And, you know, for me, I'm hearing them. I don't want the tower to, in a few years' time, to be another thalidomide issue where, you know, we're culpable for birth defects, as was not needed before. So, yeah, I'll be voting strongly against the tower, considering that there are other options for them to put it elsewhere. I'm not supporting this at all.
Thank you, Alderman Milne. I will just ask Mr. May if he has some response to, I think, the comments that Alderman Lacock made.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, because I've been researching this, thinking that these questions would arise. The regulation and licensing of people who build telecommunications towers is solely the responsibility of the Australian Federal Government. There are two bodies, the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency, which is called ARPANSA, and the Australian Communications and Media Authority, which is called ACMA. ARPANSA is an independent Australian government agency charged with protecting Australians from exposure to EMA. PANZA is responsible for advising what safe levels of EME exposure are. PANZA has developed a public health standard which sets limits for human exposure to RF-EME, which is what we're talking about. The limits are set well below the level at which adverse health effects are known to occur and include a wide safety margin to protect the public. The exposure standards take into account the many sources of RF-EME present in the modern environment, and something I didn't realise until I researched it is that all of our television reception and everything in radio, digital radio reception is the same. It's coming to us the same way as this tower proposes. The ACMA it is responsible for licensing the operation of telecommunications transmitters, and the licence requires transmitters to comply with the exposure limits set out in the PANZA standard. So to answer your question, what we received as an application to be assessed by the planning team had this licensing certification to say that they are actually, what they are installing is operating well below the standards that are believed to cause any human harm. So that's the reason why the recommendation is as it is, because Alderman Goodwin said in his opening remarks that, you know, it's got to be based on planning considerations, and there are two things to look at for a phone tower. One is the zone, which is the rural resource zone, and the second is the code, which is the telecommunication code. And there are development standards in the zone, and there are requirements in the code. And when it was assessed, the tower was found to meet all those. Just as a couple of examples, we measured it at approximately 90 metres from the nearest house. In the code, it would be allowed in a rural resource zone to be 60 metres tall. It's only 25 metres tall. And there are all sorts of codes of conduct, which, again, the federal government regulates, which requires it to be landscaped to a certain standard, to be secured to a certain standard, and to be constructed of certain materials of a certain colour, so as not to adversely impact on the community. So I just thought I'd get that on the record as the basis for the recommendation that you have before you.
Thank you, Mr. May. Appreciate that. Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. I suppose how I'm looking at this, and thank you, Mr. May, for your comments, because that certainly clears up the EME. I suppose I'm looking on the basis of my question, I suppose, first of all, is can this tower go somewhere else on that property instead of being right next to houses?
Through you, Madam Chair, that's not a call for council.
No.
The proposal that was put to us, for whatever reason, yes, was to put it where it's proposed, which is outside the water tower.
But the land itself is quite a large block that they're looking at putting it on. It doesn't have to necessarily... Do they have to put it there, right next to houses, or can it be put somewhere else on that property, away from the residences?
Again, through you, Madam Chair, my recollection from... and I'm no expert on this. My recollection from a previous tower that we dealt with here was that they site them according to the coverage they can get.
Yes, the frequencies.
I don't really understand how all that works, but it's at the top of a hill, so I presume that's some sort of benefit to it. But certainly, I mean, there are obviously other places it could go in Devonport, but this is the one that we're dealing with. This is the application in front of us.
Okay. And would there be future possible subdivisions in that area that, because a tower is placed in that vicinity, would not perhaps be going ahead because of having a huge tower in the area?
Well, harking back to the session we had before about the local planning provisions, it's,
yes,
currently zoned rural resource, so the short answer is no, it couldn't be subdivided at the moment.
Okay, right. I certainly see how this application has ticked a lot of the boxes that it needed to go through. However, and I understand that a lot of people are more emotive about this, and it is a planning authority decision, but as a real estate agent, when I was, lots of people would ask, is there a tower nearby, when they were buying properties? Lots of people, whether it's the right height or a smaller height than it should be, and whether or not that the authorities out there say that the frequency and everything is not going to be detrimental to anybody's health, people have concerns out there about towers. And there is an unknown factor, and I do believe that it causes a lot of concern for people out there because it's brought up on a regular basis. So I'm just trying to get the information in front of me so I can make a factual decision, and I do believe that that tower could possibly go in a better position than exactly where that they're proposing. Thank you. That's all I need to say.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, thank you. Yes, look, I agree with all the previous speakers. I think it is a very emotive issue when it comes to these towers with their radio frequency radiation emissions. I think that's probably the major thing. It's an unknown factor. There's so many different explanations. People who are proponents say that it's not detrimental to health. Others say that it is. So we really, who do we believe? I think the bottom line is that we can't take the chance. And I think the other factor that's been mentioned is the fact that if there's a tower there, of course, it will devalue properties. And I know this particular one, I think it was mentioned by Mr. May, 90 metres from the nearest property, which is a very, very short distance. Realistically, that would not be very satisfactory, for at least for those people and anyone nearby. So, look, realistically, I think, yes, I think we do support that there will be a requirement for a tower for Optus at some stage, but this isn't the spot for it. I think another one that has a lesser effect on the public would be a far better option than this particular one. So I think at this point in time, I'm not going to support the recommendation.
Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. There's a lot of information going around the table on this one, and I certainly accept Mr. May's information and, you know, the right for Optus and the property owners to come to a business arrangement and put an application into council, and council, all council can do is to assess that on planning grounds. I totally get that, and I totally understand that and respect that, and also respect the owner the rights of Optus and the property owners to lodge an application as a business transaction. My only question would be, and there's obviously some community concern because the petition was quite significant and there's been some significant comment around the table. Is there another spot on that property? And my advice is there is. Is there another spot? And it's not planning's, except it's not planning's decision to make. But if there were another spot on that property that was no more onerous or detrimental to the property owner or Optus for that tower to go, and a spot that everyone could live with, would there be an opportunity for council to discuss that with the property owners and Optus if it was no more onerous and no more detrimental to the current site? And I guess it's not a question you can answer, but it's just a question I'm raising as part of the conversation here tonight, because it obviously does cause some concern. And if there is a better spot to put it, why wouldn't we do it?
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Thank
and
you.
I will take that as comment. Thank you, Alderman Perry. A question, Alderman Lacon?
A question, right, okay. Well, it's a thank you to Brian May for that explanation. I did read the documentation that was sent to us from PANSA. And yes, I understand we're operating as a planning authority, but I did need to mention that because in 5 or 10 years, it's a bit late to say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, that you've had troubles with your health. We were only acting as a planning authority and I hadn't actually said anything. I noticed from Optus, one of the, under Section 5, it says no adverse health effects are expected from continuous exposure. Well, the word expected, there's no data to prove one way or the other that's been put in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock, for that question. That was very good. Are there any other questions? I guess from my point of view, I take on board all the comments. However, I also reading the documentation suggests that it's as safe as standing next to our microwave or any of those things. And again, a reminder that we are acting as a planning authority, and I know that that's difficult for us. But on that point alone, I need to be voting for the recommendation. However, I understand that the rest of the comments are based on other evidence. On saying that, I will ask Alderman Goodman to close the debate. Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That would be me. All those against, I'll ask for a show of hands. Thank you. Those against: Alderman Emerton, Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Jarman, Alderman Laycock, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Milne and Alderman Perry. The motion is lost. Do we need to put a motion to not accept?
Now, through you, Madam Chair, it would be appropriate for Council to determine to refuse the application and to, in accordance with the planning scheme, and I'll just get Karen to type up onto the screen, and listening to the comments that have been, made, to be able to refuse it, and particularly in relation to matters about health aspects. There is a clause under part E8.6.2, so it'll come up on the screen shortly. Just don't worry too much about the typing mistake.
Which one?
What typing mistake? So can everyone read the proposed?
That's exactly what I was going to put down.
I knew that. They read your mind, Alderman Goodwin. You did get the part wrong. You got the wrong division. I will ask for a mover of this motion. Thank you, Alderman. I will ask for silence, please, in the gallery. Thank you. Alderman Milne, Alderman Goodwin. Did you have?
The motion says it all.
Thank you. Alderman Milne, did you have anything to add?
I just wanted to say that, you know, with a groundswell of community against this, I think it's fantastic that people around this table have taken this decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Alderman Perry.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Yeah, look, I'll support that as well. And I just want to reiterate, this is no reflection on our planning department. They have to assess what's in front of them. But I think at times we need to take into consideration the community concerns and benefits and make a decision based on that at times. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Thank you.
Through you, Madam Chair. Just to point out that obviously any decision that's made by the planning authority is subject to appeal, and the process will be that we will need to engage external planning advice to be able to deal with that on the basis that our planners have been involved with this particular application with a positive recommendation, and the refusal will put us... We can't then have the same planners then defend the council's position. So just as long as you're aware of that, and that if an appeal is lodged, that there will be costs that will be incurred by council in relation to that.
Thank you.
Please, first.
Alderman Emerton.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. In speaking in favour of this, I would like to put it on record that I am not against having a poll. It was just a particular location for me. And if Optus would like to come back with an alternative site, I'd be more than happy to be positive towards it. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Jarman.
And if Alderman Emerton could just speak exactly the words I was about to bring up. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I know. But look, at the end of the day, Alderman Perry brought up the same reason. I brought up the same reason. We're very happy to look at another location, and I'm wondering if that can be brought forward to them. Thank you.
Alderman Goodwin to close.
Thanks, Mayor. And look, I would sincerely hope that Optus would have a look at alternative site, and out of that we may get a successful outcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 5.1, Cradle Coast Authority membership. Do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Seconded.
Emerton. Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Emerton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've talked about this now for the 3 years plus that I've been on council, and I believe that there has been sufficient change in CCA for me to support this recommendation. I believe that working together we do achieve more. I believe that the combined resources of the nine councils, whilst we will have differences of opinion on many, many different items and aspects of life on the northwest coast of Tassie, the reality is I still am absolutely convinced that we can achieve more and gain more from federal funding, state funding, bodies, and cooperatively work together to see the potential of this magnificent strip of land that we call home reach its potential. And so I would encourage my fellow aldermen to support that we remain in membership. In other words, we withdraw our notice of withdrawal, and we would continue to work with other councils, with the CCA, in continuing to develop this area in which we live. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Emerton. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, there's no doubt there's been some quantifiable changes made by the Cradle Coast Authority since we embarked on this path a few years ago, whether that was by hook or by crook, but the changes have been made, and it does bode a favourable outcome as far as we're concerned. So I feel that staying in the Cradle Coast Authority is better for the City of Devonport at this point in time rather than being out of it. So at the end of the day, we'll just see where it all lands, and let's hope it's beneficial for the City of Devonport as well as the entire coast. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Lakoff.
Thank you. As it's been said, we've done our homework over many years. We've discussed, we've debated, we've workshopped. That's just on our own, and we've been briefed on several occasions by the Cradle Coast Authority. So tonight's the time to make that decision. I do believe that without the support of this council, the authority would have folded or will fold or certainly have to scale down their operations. I certainly don't want to see that happen, as we're all dependent on working as a region, being successful for jobs and tourism. I know, as you do, that we live in the best part of Australia, right here, minutes from our CBD. We have the richest agricultural land in the nation that can grow and produce just about anything. We're exporting meat, vegetables, fruit, chocolate, seafood, more recently wasabi, avocados, and the list goes on and on. Staying in the Cradle Coast Authority will give us a stronger voice, and I feel that we need to capitalise on areas for our region, such as manufacturing. We've got the land, the expertise. Use the authority to give it a very strong voice to take messages to Canberra, to lobby our state and federal politicians, to let them know that we are open for business for manufacturing right here on the northwest coast. An example of this is what Qantas want to do with a pilot's training base right here in Devonport. Not only will it put Devonport on the map and create jobs, it certainly will help everybody in the region. People tend to think that if it's just in your area, that's just what will benefit, but that's not true. We all know that we have people that live in Burnie that work in Devonport and vice versa, even as far through as Smithton. So the region is important. And lobbying, the authority do need to lobby and stay in constant contact with the local members to make sure that not just the Qantas training site, but of course anything to do with the northwest coast, that we have a united voice. And really, just on that, it's nice to see the Burnie Council have come on board there. I still believe, though, that this council in the future will need an economic development officer. It's something that we have talked about and I'm sure will come up in the near future. On that note, I'll close by adding my support to the recommendation that we withdraw our withdrawal from the Cradle Coast Authority and remain a very active member of the authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Lakehoff. Alderman Matthews?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I support the... I agree with previous speakers. I think the Devonport have... We have approximately 23% of the population of the region and we contribute accordingly. We need to send out as many positive messages to investors and developers, not only here, but along the Cradle Coast region. We're getting the City of Melbourne, which is, let's say, I won't say it's our northern suburb, but it's going to have somewhere near 8 million residents in the next two or three decades. So that's a huge market. And we want them to come over here to the Devonport and the North West Coast to experience our wonderful resources, our goods, our food and wines, etc. So that's a fantastic market for them to come across. And I think we need to be very much together so that we can promote our region in a totally positive way. And the Devonport being part of it, I think, is vital. So I certainly support that motion.
Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the recommendation. Those around the table that were here in 2014 would recall that it was I that moved the notice of motion to withdraw Devonport City Council from the Cradle Coast Authority because at the time I thought it needed to be done, and I thought that we and all the other councils for that matter weren't really being given some measurable benefits for the Cradle Coast Authority to exist. Well, certainly we felt that, and that's why we voted the way we did. I think having done that, it certainly gave rise to considerable improvements and efficiencies at the Cradle Coast Authority. And that's been happening for a period of time now, and they continue to make improvements. So the situation has certainly changed, and I think that notice of motion, well, it certainly was a catalyst for the improvements. And we're at the point now where the improvements to governance and accountability with the CCAs has actually driven down contributions, not only for us but for every other council as well. So, as I said, I thought it needed to be done at the time. I think the improvements are now quantifiable enough and significant enough for us to stay with the Cradle Coast Authority. And let's just see where we go in the foreseeable future. And if those improvements continue to occur, then let's hope it's a long-lasting relationship. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Alderman Emerton, to close. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to commend Alderman Perry and the previous council before this one for the leadership that was shown in actually going against the flow and doing the very things that Alderman Perry had just briefly has mentioned, but many other things as well. And I see that's one of the reasons why I want us to remain in, because we can show leadership. That's not control, that's leadership. It's showing the way. It's challenging. We now, once we vote on this, we'll talk about the rule changes, which I believe has come out of that decision made 4 years ago by this council. And so I again commend the council for the view that they took. And whilst it's probably not been popular, challenges changed perspective. And I think that there has been a shake-up in the Cradle Coast Authority positively. There is new leadership there, and we can hopefully walk away from our decision tonight and work proactively and positively with them and seeing the continued development of the coast. I would like to close the debate.
Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. It has been some work over the last 4 years, but I think it's a really positive place we're at with that at the moment. Item 5.2 is the Crown of Coast Authority rules.
So moved.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Almost an extension of the previous agenda item. The changes of rules have come about because of the Denmark City Council's actions in 2014 to, for want of a better expression, lance the boil. It's not a very nice expression, but I think it's pertinent on this occasion. And this is a reflection or an extension of the previous agenda item, as I mentioned, and what we did in 2014. So I can see more improvements coming as time goes, and I don't think we've reached its zenith, but it's a good start and certainly something that we and all other councils can live with. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing further to add, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Perry, to close the debate.
Consider it closed, Mayor.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 5.3 is the nomination for a representative appointment on Cradle Coast Authority. Do we have a mover, please?
Second.
Alderman Matthews, Alderman Jarman. Alderman Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think Alderman Perry will be a very good representative for our council authority. So, and yourself as a very good
thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Yes, I just look forward to having certainly a very good representation going through to the CCA, and I'm sure that they're going to be looking forward to seeing both of you there, and I hope that we can just keep them on their toes like we have. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin?
Just a question, Mayor. Do we need a proxy if, in case Alderman Perry's away at all? Do we normally have a, in relation to this?
Our general manager is the second...
He's the proxy.
There's another vote as well.
Through you, Madam Chair, the arrangement is now the representatives consist of the Mayor and the General Manager from each of the councils.
Right.
In this case, because the Mayor will be on the board, there's a requirement to appoint an alternative representative.
Mayor, yeah.
In the circumstances where the representative isn't available, then it would be a case of a proxy being appointed, and under the rules there's a process for that. So it would be a matter of finding who would actually be available on
right.
that particular time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alderman Matthews to close.
Close.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 As against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.4 is the tender report on contract CP0136 at the Aquatic Centre.
I'll move the recommendation, Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Do we have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Alderman Laycock, thank you. Alderman Goodwin.
It's all in the report, Madam Mayor, and it's a job that needs to be done, so accept the contract. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, I note that... the asset renewal project has been listed in our five-year capital works program for several years now, so it's not an unexpected expense. It was always going to happen, and we once again done it for a pretty reasonable price. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin, to close. Thank you.
Consider it closed, Mayor.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.5 is a tender report for audiovisual equipment.
So moved.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Do I have a seconder?
Yes.
Alderman Emerton, thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Necessary evils that we have to do, and if we're going to be the state-of-the-art civic building and the convention centre that we're going to have, it's going to be very important that we have the right equipment. I'm certainly someone that would be always making sure that we have the right things there for people not to have to worry about extra costs on top of. So we've got to make sure that we're doing this correctly. I have full faith in Mr. Dobson's decision on what we require. And I can't believe the differences in quotes, but obviously that's needed to be sorted out. and I certainly have faith in this is going to be the right equipment that we need to make sure that we are leading edge and that we are going to get major bookings because of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Alderman Emerton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd support what Alderman Jarman has said there, and I think it is encouraging that this is an investment where we actually will get a return because we will lease these items out to acts that come here, and certainly whilst it may seem like a large amounts of money, the reality is that that's required to attract the type of acts that will come here. So I certainly support the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Milne.
The difference in costs, is that like because you're buying a home brand instead of the name brand, or is the quality of the audiovisual equipment going to have a guarantee with it that it's going to have like 5 years, or do the old Harvey Norman buy an extra five so it becomes 10? Or I just, I'd like to answer.
Thank you, Alderman Milne.
Through you, Madam Chair. I think if you actually look at the table, the cheaper option was discounted for that reason, and certainly as part of the assessment group, the process has been that they've certainly looked at those matters and made sure that the equipment is fit for purpose and that it is the equipment that's required. That's in relation to the LED screen. For the sound system, in fact, if you look at the table on page 693 of the agenda, what is being recommended to Council is the L-Acoustics Kiva 2 system, $111,000. That was also quoted by two other firms at $175,000 and $180,000, so it is actually a very good price.
Thank you. No other questions, queries? Alderman Jarman to close.
As I previously said, I have full faith in what's been decided here, and certainly I have a very, very, very minor background in this, and knowing just in the past when you have events and you haven't got the right equipment and then people have costs on top of because they've got to bring in better equipment themselves, it makes them want to go elsewhere. We've got to make sure that this convention centre works, and I certainly have faith in what has been chosen. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.1 is a report on workshops and briefing sessions since our last... Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Alderman Perry, Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add, thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Laycock to close.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the Mayor's report. Thank you, Alderman Matthews.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Alderman Matthews.
No, nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Alderman Perry.
I've been busy again acting Mayor, so that's good. Nice work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Alderman Matthews to close.
We're close.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's report for the last 4 weeks.
The report we received.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Do I have a seconder?
Yes.
Thank you, Alderman Emerton. Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Emerton? Thank you. Any comments, questions? Alderman Goodwin to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Section 7.0, 7.1, Planning Authority Committee meeting minutes. Oh, sorry. What did I miss? 6.4? I beg your pardon.
Oh, 6.4.
I beg your pardon, 6.4? Your 6.4?
Yeah.
The shared, thank you. Yes. I only missed one, Alderman. Alderman, thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Perry. 6.4, please. I apologise.
That's fine.
Your speaker, Mr. Perry, thank you.
It's in the report, and we can be assured of good representation at those meetings with Alderman Emmerton and Alderman Goodwin. And it's all in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin, this is the second.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. And once again, the shared audit panel seems to be working quite okay. And we covered quite a few issues at the meeting here recently. So, everything's in order. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Alderman Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. I will now move to item 7.1, which is the minutes of the Planning Authority Committee meeting held on the 9th of April. Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Matthews. Thank you. Alderman Goodwin?
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Any comments, questions? Alderman Matthews to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.2. Thank you, Alderman Emmerton and Alderman Matthews. Thank you. Item 7.2 is the Infrastructure Works and Development Committee minutes of that meeting of the 9th of April. Do I have a mover, please?
You do.
Alderman Laycock, Alderman Perry. Thank you. Alderman Laycock.
Look, there's nothing to add. It's all set out. It was a good meeting as usual. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Perry.
Yeah, it's a precise reflection of what happened at the meeting, so happy to second it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Laycock to close the debate.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Got ya. This brings us to a motion I now need a motion to move into closed session. Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Laycock? Alderman Goodwin?
Nothing to add.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add.
Close the debate, Alderman Goodwin. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried. We close the open part of the meeting at 6:43. Thank you, everyone.